Harris. Little screen here. And Sinkfield's going to score. There's the dagger. It's officially over.
Welcome to Potsky Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
It's an all free agency show this week, Mike. We got Ty Cats news. We got league news. We got it was a free agent bonanza since we last sat down. Let's kick things off by talking about what the Ty Cats did. Sound good to you?
Yep. Let's do this.
So just prior to free agency, like maybe a day or two before, we got a couple of re-signings. One was a really big one, and one was I think maybe an under the radar guy that we brought back. The big one, obviously, is Courtney Steven was inked to a 3-year contract extension. I have been singing this guy's praises for most of the last year and a half. Pretty much since we started the show, I've been talking about how much I enjoy watching Courtney Steven play and how, especially this last season, sort of became that stud player in the secondary. So obviously, I was very excited about his return to the squad on a 3-year contract. What are your thoughts?
Well, we talked about it last time, how much we wanted him back with the Ticats. He had a good rookie season, and then last year he really took it up a notch. So I expect great things to come for Courtney Steven. It's great that we have him for a couple of years now, you know, 3 years instead of just, you know, year by year type of thing. So I'm glad that he's locked up for years to come. And I think he'll just get better and better in the secondary, and he's going to be a great asset for the Ticats on defense.
The other player that was brought back was offensive tackle. Oh my God, I'm blanking on his name.
Jeremy Lewis.
Jeremy Lewis, thank you very much. I had it written down here somewhere and I couldn't find it. Jeremy Lewis, again, a player who, like I said, I don't think a lot of people are super excited about this signing, but he's one of those guys, especially for an offensive lineman. The offensive line, if there's unity there, if there's cohesion there, I find that they play better. You see some of the best offensive lines in the league and just in football in general are ones that stay together for a long time. I think Lewis, over the course of last season, really his first season being a starter, really showed that he could be a really good tackle for the Ticats. Your thoughts on this move?
I think it's a good move. Like you said, the offensive line plays together a lot, the better they'll be. You see teams bring in a lot of talent on the offensive line, and sometimes they just don't gel. They have to take time to gel. And bringing him back is a good thing, I think. Was he injured last year at all?
I don't think
that he had injury troubles or not, but I couldn't remember.
I don't think so. I think he was like the third of, like, because we had Jake Olson and then Joel Figueroa, and both those guys dealt with injuries. Figueroa at the beginning of the season, and then Olson at the end of the season, tore his Achilles or tore his ACL, or he had any injury of some sort. And then I think Lewis was kind of the guy who, when Figueroa was out, he would play for Figueroa. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think he was hurt. I think he may have started like quite a few games for the team last year. Yeah. I'm going to look it up. Give me 1 second. You just vamp for a bit.
He filled in really well when they went down. So maybe he's going to be the starter next year. Maybe it's time for him to step up and be in the starting rotation. But we shall see if Figueroa or the other guy's back or not, and maybe he's the guy now to start a left tackle, I believe.
All right, so the CFL website and the Ticats website is crap for trying to figure out what offensive lineman did. It says what he did in 2014, but nothing about 2015, so that really doesn't help us right now. But I'm pretty sure he played a vast majority of the games. If he was injured, it wasn't for any long-term stretch of time. I'm pretty sure he was starting in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah,
but yeah, I'm with you. You know, great signing. So let's continue this theme of re-signing, and let's talk about some of the guys the Ticats brought back that somewhat, even if it was for a short period of time, tested the free agent market. And the big one, both literally and figuratively, is Ted Laurent is staying in Hamilton. I was shocked, frankly, that he came back here. I said last week or the last time we recorded that I thought he was Saskatchewan bound. You said you thought maybe Winnipeg. He's back in Hamilton, and this to me was the best move any team could have made because he, to me, was the number one target in free agency, and he stayed in Hamilton, so great news all around.
Yeah, he's probably the, you know, if not the biggest fish in the free agent market, you know, number like two or three, if not number one. So it's great to have him back. He's the best interior defensive lineman in the league, you know, arguably, or and he's Canadian. So it's great to see him back. You know, Montreal was in the running. Lots of teams were in the runnings for his to get him signed up. So, you know, I was just glad that we brought him back. I had my doubts. You know, I heard that we hadn't even offered him anything up until, you know, free agency started. So I was a little bit surprised that we got him back, but I'm you know, overjoyed that he's back in black and gold.
Yeah, it's a lot of money from what's being reported, but he's a guy that's worth every single penny of it. Because what he does up front, even though the stats don't show it, he had 20-some-odd tackles and only 3 sacks last year, but he is much more than what the stats indicate. He is a human wrecking ball in the middle of that defensive line, and I got to think that all those linebackers, I think Simone Lawrence especially, these guys got to be really happy that Laurent is staying put because he's going to open up so many things for them, and he really makes this defense, by what he does in the middle, on the front line, really helps make this defense as dangerous as it can be. So another guy they brought back that I am excited about is Andy Fantuz is returning for at least one more season. Not necessarily one that was thought of as a huge guy to bring back, kind of like Jeremy Lewis. Like, Fantuz is still a great receiver, but injuries have obviously derailed his last few seasons. But if he's healthy, and I know that's a big if, and I know we say it every year, but if he's healthy, he can still be the premier Canadian pest catcher in the CFL.
Yeah, it's great to see him back again. The name escapes me. Who was the free agent that you really wanted? Oh, Shamar Chambers. As soon as Shamar Chambers signed with Saskatchewan, long after that, Fantuz signed with the Ticats. So they're, like you speculated, they're in the runnings for Shamar Chambers, I assume. And as soon as he signed with Saskatchewan, they snagged up Fantuz and brought him back. You know, it would have been nice to have Chambers in the mix, but I'm glad to see Fantuz back as well. Like you said, if he's healthy, he's one of the best. So let's just keep our fingers crossed for the next season that he can finally have, you know, a long season on the football field. 15, 16, 17 games would be a great thing for him and for the Ticats.
Interestingly enough that you bring up Chambers. Chambers signed a one-year deal in Saskatchewan, and Fantuz only signed a one-year deal in Hamilton. So maybe something is there. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's something about that. Who knows? But I'm happy Fantuz is back. But if you look at this receiving core, 1-5, 1-6, 1-7, this, with the addition of the player who I don't want to talk about right now, but who we'll talk about later, this could be one of the most dangerous receiving units in the entire CFL if everyone can play, you know, 15, 16, 17 games. It's almost impossible to play a full season. Some guys do, and it's great, but even Luke Tasker last year missed the first month of the season. So if guys can stay healthy and Zach Caleros can come back, this offense could be just ridiculously explosive, maybe even better than last year's.
Yeah, we lost Sinkfield, but the additions that we made and the guys that we're bringing back, you know, the rookies from last year that have a lot of potential, like Tolliver and, you know, Underwood and Watts back in the mix, he should be good from his injury, hopefully. So, and that new player that we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, I'm pretty impressed with what this receiving core could be next year if everyone stays healthy.
The team also brought back 3 other players, Michael Atkinson, Giovanni Aprile, and the one that kind of surprised me was Frederick Plessius. I figured he would get an opportunity to play somewhere else, maybe even get a chance at a starting gig somewhere. But he's coming back to Hamilton, special teams dynamo. And the thing you notice about these are the 5 guys the team has re-signed so far, all of them are Canadian. We all know that in the CFL, the teams with the best Canadian talent usually win. And Hamilton is loaded for bear when it comes to Canadian talent. If you look at their roster makeup so far with some holes still left to be filled, there's legitimately 8 Canadians who can start for this team. And we've seen teams in the past, Montreal comes to mind, that if you're able to start more than the required amount of Canadians, the 7 that you need to start, your team's much better for it. And with these guys coming back and all of them being Canadian, it tells me the Ticats are building a team that is going to be one of the best in the CFL once again.
Yeah, I hope you're right on that. You know, Plessius is back. Atkinson, you know, Atkinson could be, you know, you never know what they're going to do in the other middle spot. They brought Big Teddy back, but who's going to start in that other spot? Are they going to bring back Hall? Are they going to start Gadosh? Are they going to give Atkinson a go? I'm assuming Gadosh would be the starter, and then Atkinson would be his backup. But, you know, we don't know about Gadosh if he's fully healthy or not, because he's had such injury troubles. So, yeah, I think those are great depth signings for the team. And, you know, they're Canadians that could start. They have the talent, I think. But I think they'll be in a backup position, perhaps. Unless they want to start Plesias at a linebacker spot. But I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, it's entirely possible with the loss of Taylor Reed to Calgary and Eric Harris to the NFL and the New Orleans Saints. There's some opportunities there in the linebacking core, and maybe Plesias does get a chance to compete for a starting job here. But all in all, I think the guys that they brought back, there's obviously still some players out there who need to be re-signed, but I think the guys they brought back shows where the focus of this team is. So now let's move on to the guys that they brought in. Now, this is interesting because as all the guys they kept were Canadian, all the guys that they've acquired are Americans. And let's start off with the first guy that they inked, which was linebacker Alex Hoffman Ellis, who last year filled in for Solomon Elamimian when the 2014 MOP missed time after, what was it? Did he tear his Achilles?
I don't recall.
It happened against the Ticats here in Hamilton. That's all I remember. That was the last game he played. But he suffered some sort of season-ending injury. Hoffman Ellis came in and played, and kind of showed that he could be a starting linebacker in this league. What are your thoughts on the acquisition of Alex Hoffman Ellis?
I think it's a great move. Like you said, he filled in for Elamimian when he went down, and he did a pretty darn good job. He had, you know, some good stats. I remember watching games he played in. He had interceptions, and he was making plays out there. He's a fast guy, so yeah, I think that he's a good young player, and he could be a start. I'm assuming he will be a starting linebacker for the Ticats this year, and I think he could do a great job. He showed it last year, and yeah, I'm pretty happy about this signing.
I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but his Twitter handle is Hoftimus Prime, and okay. As a giant Transformers fan from going way back to when I was a kid, seeing that just it made me smile, thinking, yeah. Okay, I'm really going to like this guy. And like you said, he was a playmaker for BC last year in a limited role. He had limited reps because he didn't start the season as the starter. But this is one of those signings that I have referred to as that sneaky good type of signing where we're not really talking a ton about it now, but around week 7 or 8, when this guy is lighting up the stat sheets with tackles and sacks and just interceptions and fumbles and all that stuff, people are going to look back and go, that was one of the best signings of the offseason by any team. And I'm really happy that he chose here. I've seen some talk from people in BC that are upset that he left, that BC didn't extend him a contract offer because they saw the future is bright with this player. And now he's in Hamilton. And I think in an Orlando Steinhauer defense with the rest of these guys, this could be a huge breakout season for him.
Now, being a big Transformers fan, I'm assuming you were referring to the Generation 1 cartoon, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the cartoon movie from that generation?
Of course I have. It's a seminal moment of my life. It's
yes.
Optimus dies. That was when I learned what death was.
Yes, Unicron, and that was a great. I like it. I like it better than the newer movies they put out.
Yeah, the new movies are. I've seen them all, and I own them all because I feel a sense of like I should.
But yeah.
The quality of them is not great, but there's nothing I like. You know what? It's giant robots punching each other in the face. I can't get too mad at being able to see that. That is what I want. So
yeah,
I accept them more than I enjoy them, I think is the way to put it.
Yeah. Anyways, sidetracked there. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So another player the Ticats brought in, and actually this is a guy that they brought back, is Brian Simmons. I have long been a huge Brian Simmons fan, and I was a little bit upset when he was dealt last year because I don't think he really got a fair shake. Like, he had been asked to do everything. He first started off as a right tackle, and then they moved him to left tackle, and then they moved him to guard, and he was an all-star guard. And then last year he got hurt and didn't play very well, and then he was benched and never really got a chance to get back on the field. And then he was traded to Edmonton, and he didn't really see much time on the field in Edmonton either. But when they brought him back, I got happy. I got a smile on my face because this is a guy who he lives in the area. I believe he's engaged to a woman who's from the area. Like, he views Hamilton as his home. So I am so glad that they brought him back.
Yeah, I always liked Brian Simmons as well. He's seems like a great guy off the field, and he's a good player on the field. So, like you said, he can do many different roles. I was kind of upset when they didn't bring him back last year or traded him or whatever happened. I can't remember. But, yeah, it's good to see him back in black and gold. I think he can be a great addition to the offensive line and help out in many ways. So, yeah, I'm glad he's back with the Ticats for sure.
Well, Joel Figueroa and Jake Olsen remain unsigned, and Simmons has experience playing with these guys. So even though he's quote-unquote a new addition, bringing him in is not like you're bringing in a brand-new offensive lineman. He's familiar with a lot of the guys that play on the line. So, again, it's sort of a cohesion thing and stuff like that. And I look at him now as maybe being the guy who will start at left tackle, at least to start the season. And then you have Simmons, Bombin, Filer, Diakowski, and Lewis. That's, to me, a fairly somewhat unproven in Lewis's case, but a fairly decent offensive line that again could be one of the league's best next season.
Yeah, I hope so, because we gotta keep Calero's healthy. You gotta keep he can't be getting hit a lot. So there's a lot of pressure on this offensive line to be really good, because if they're not really good, then we could be in trouble.
One of the other positions where the Ticats seem to be shuffling players in and out almost every year is in the secondary. And they went to Winnipeg and picked up a player in DeMond Washington, who Bomber fans aren't too high on. But he's a guy who I think can play in multiple positions and, if necessary, can do some returns on special teams. I'm not as high on this signing as I am of the others, but I think it's a good move. It's a guy they could bring in, and it creates competition in the secondary in camp.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too familiar on how good he is as a cover man, but I think that last year when we did our predictions for free agents and we did like a whole roster, I think I might have penciled him in as bringing him in, but I can't remember if it was him or someone else from Winnipeg. But yeah, like you said, it could be a good competition for whoever they bring in and whoever comes back in the secondary. So, you know, if he wins at a job, maybe he can prove those people wrong in Winnipeg who don't think he's very good. And, you know, if he doesn't, then he doesn't. And then, you know, no loss for the Ticats. And, you know, just bring him in, take a look at him, and see what he has.
Well, two things. Versatility is always something that Kent Austin preaches, and Washington is a versatile player. And two, sometimes a change of scenery creates a better player. Like, he was in Winnipeg last year, and there was really not much good about Winnipeg. There hasn't been much good about Winnipeg for quite a while. You know, blips on the radar here and there, but they've been pretty terrible for quite a long time. You know, maybe he gets in a system that is more suited to his strengths. Maybe Steinhauer figures out how to use him better, and you never know what could happen.
Yeah, they could coach him up, and he could be a totally different player. So let's just see what happens.
Yeah, so we got one more player to talk about, and I partially blame you and I for this having occurred, because we did put it out there into the atmosphere the last time we sat down. I cannot believe I am saying these words, but the Ticats signed Chad Owens. Wow, just wow.
Yeah, it was, even though we talked about it, and you could kind of see it coming with him not getting... you know, they weren't agreeing on a contract with him and the Argos, and you know, he just moved to Toronto, and Hamilton's the closest spot to Toronto, and it kind of made sense. You could kind of see it coming, but even when you saw it, that he actually signed, I was shocked. You know, it's just hard to believe that he's a Ticat now, and you see him wearing the jersey at the press conference, and it just doesn't look right. But you know, there's that initial shock, but you just have to accept it. You know, if he can help out the team, then I'm fine with it. You know, if he turns out to be a dud, then that's not so good. But if I believe he's still a good receiver that can contribute. You know, he's not going to be returning anymore. I think he was done returning a couple years ago. He doesn't really have that speed that he had when he first came into the league. But he can still get away from defenders and get open. And he's still a pretty decent. You know, he can catch the ball pretty well. He's limited the fumbles that he was famous for earlier in his career. So I think he can contribute to this team and maybe be somewhat of a leader on the offense. And, you know, maybe he'll become a fan favorite in Hamilton after all those years of hating him.
I don't know if you saw the piece I wrote about him for Three Down Nation that eventually ended up in the actual Hamilton Spectator. But when I first saw this, I just ran the gamut of emotions. At first, I was stunned. Like, I didn't even know how to process it. Even though it, like, thinking back on it now after, you know, having almost a week, I guess, or so to kind of digest it, it, you know, it makes sense. Like you said, he lives in Mississauga now. He wanted to stay close to his family. This was really the only, unless he was going to retire, it was either Toronto or Hamilton. This was really the only option he had, finding out that Toronto never even extended him a contract offer. So, yeah, at first I was just stunned. And then, you know, I was kind of thinking, like, why would the team do this? Like, what do they need an American receiver for? And then, well, yeah, they did lose Sinkfield, and Owens and Sinkfield are similar type players. And then, you know, you get angry about it because it's like, this is a guy that we have hated now for half a decade. He was the face of the Argos franchise. And like you said, to see him put on that Ticat jersey for the first time, it just looked wrong. It's probably how we would have felt when Joe Montford left Hamilton to go to Toronto. Just,
yeah.
It's just not right. Maybe this is how Argo fans felt when Arlan Bruce was traded. I don't know. It just didn't feel right. But then I started thinking about what he can bring to the team. And like I said earlier, this receiving core now, you have Tasker Fantuz and Owens working out of the slot. You have Tolliver at one of the receiver spots. You have Spencer Watt at one of the receiver spots. And you still have Underwood and Brandon Banks. This could be a lethal receiving core, because who are you going to double cover? You have guys like Tasker and Fantuz who aren't the speediest of guys, but they're clutch. They catch everything thrown their way. How many amazing catches have we seen Andy Fantuz make? How many amazing catches just last year did we see Luke Tasker make? Owens, you know, yeah, he's lost a step, but he's still pretty darn fast and can take the top off a defense if need be. And we've all seen the miraculous one-handed catches that he has made over his career. So I don't know, man. As much as I don't want to cheer for the guy because of all the reasons that we can come up with, I can't help but kind of be a little excited about what this offense could accomplish now with him on board.
And him and Claros have history. You know, Claros came in for Ray that one year when he was down and had a great – he did a great job filling in for him, and they had a pretty good connection. So there's that familiarity with him and Ray and him and Claros. So, yeah, he could be a big addition to this offense, even though he's been hated in Hamilton for, you know, 5 or 6 years. He could do a lot of good things for this team, I think. So, you know, he's not Ricky Foley, so he's not, you know, I can accept it a little bit better than that. I mean, if Ricky Foley came to Hamilton, that would be terrible. But Chad Owens is a close second, but I'm kind of coming to grips with it now and accepting it and kind of getting excited about it.
Well, the big thing, you mentioned he has a history with Claros. Every single one of these receivers that the team has a history with Caleros. Even Watt, who missed all of last year, was in Toronto with Caleros.
Yep.
So even if Caleros misses camp and a little bit of the early parts of the season, he's still really familiar with these receivers, which means there won't be a huge adjustment period when he comes back to knowing what their ticks are. Like, he knows what Tasker likes to do and what Fantuz and so on and so forth. So it will make his return a lot more seamless than it would be if, say, they went out and signed a Shamad Chambers or a Kenny Stafford, who have never worked with Caleros before. So that, to me, provides some sort of, not necessarily excitement, but I'm a little more at ease with the idea that Caleros coming back won't disrupt or there won't be a giant learning curve when it comes to understanding the intricacies of what these receivers like to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if Chad Owens knows the difference between a lion and a tiger, because did you notice on Twitter he changed his background to a lion?
I didn't notice, but I've been told that. Apparently he did the same thing on Facebook. He changed something to a lion, and yeah, maybe, you know, he doesn't exactly know the difference. Although maybe at that point he was in – apparently three or four teams had put in offers to him. Maybe one of them was BC and he was considering actually going to BC. We'll never know. He's in Hamilton now. But you brought up him not really being a return guy anymore. And while I agree in the last few years his return game has not been as stellar as it used to be, I still think that teams out there fear him slightly. So even if he's not going to be the most explosive return man in the league, you put him back there with Brandon Banks, and that does create some problems.
Yeah, it'd be a tough situation. I'm sure they'd rather kick to Owens, because I think Banks still has that breakaway speed. Not that Owens doesn't, but he's just not the same as he was. But you're right. If they put them both back there, they're both still threats to return the ball back all the way. And they have if Washington makes a team, then he's a return guy too. So they have a lot of options in the return game now.
They'll want to kick to Owens until Owens busts a 65-yard punt return for a touchdown. And then they'll be pulling their hair. They're trying to kick out of bounds. They'll be trying to do whatever they can to get away from either of the guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I'm still processing it, but I'm a lot more excited now than I was initially of the idea of Chad Owens being a Tiger Cat.
As long as he helps with the team, I'm happy with the move.
And you probably saw on social media most of the comments were, I can't believe he's here, I don't like this, blah 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 blah. However, I think, you know, once he plays that first game in Tim Hortons Field, he makes one of those one-handed catches or he makes a diving catch for a touchdown, and the fans will cheer and they'll completely forget everything about the past 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. I mean, he's part of the team now, so got to accept him as soon as that first game starts.
No longer part of the team, however, are a slew of players that the Ticats lost over the last week. Let's just rattle them off here. Brian Baalke is now public enemy number one as he changed the black and gold for the double blue and signed in Toronto. Mike Edom and Brandon Stewart both went to BC. Ed Gainey went to Saskatchewan. Bakari Grant and Taylor Reed went to Calgary. Arno Gascon-Nadon went to Ottawa. Justin Medlock went to Winnipeg. And Neil King just signed with the Eskimos. I would say out of all of these moves, the ones that hurt the most are probably Medlock and Grant, but for, I think, much different reasons. What do you think?
I was kind of pissed off when I saw Medlock sign with the Bombers. I mean, we talked about it last episode, how clutch he is and how great of a field goal kicker he is. And not the greatest punter, but, you know, you can push that aside because he's just so great with the field goal kicking, and you could just depend on him so much in that category. So, yeah, it sucks that we lost Medlock. Apparently he got a pretty, you know, hefty contract, $175,000 is what was rumored. But, yeah, Baalke kind of sucks, you know, losing him. He's been with the team for a while. He did a great job for years, you know, minus last year when he was injured. So, yeah, just the one that hurts the most, I think, is Medlock, because we still don't really have a kicker. So we got to fill that position now, and it's just not going to be as good as it was last year in the field goal category for sure.
Yeah, the Medlock move, it's weird because I'm of two minds of it. One, I was okay with it once I found out how much money Winnipeg had paid him. And as much as he's the best, by far, field goal kicker in the CFL, he was statistically the worst punter last year. So, you know, it kind of balances out where you, because if you have him, you either put up with the mediocre punting or you have to bring in another player to punt. And considering he's an American, that's never really a great situation. But he makes up for the terrible punting by being the best field goal kicker in the CFL. So, yeah, his loss sucks. I was okay with it when I thought there was the chance that Swayze Waters would come to Hamilton, because Toronto went out and signed Liram Hirilahu, and that left Waters without a home, and I figured, oh, this is the perfect place for him. There was even a tweet by Zach Calero saying, hey, Swayze, come to Hamilton. I miss, you know, talking to your wife and kids, or I can't remember the exact quote, but he was trying to persuade him to come here, and then he signed with the Carolina Panthers in the NFL as a punter, and we've seen how good of a punter he is. He's probably never coming back up here. So, yeah, losing Medlock hurt, but again, if at that amount of money, they can... If it came down to retaining Medlock or retaining, say, Ted Laurent, the team made the right decision as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you got to bring back Ted if you have the opportunity. And you're right, $175,000 is a lot for a kicker, so especially when he's not a dual-role kicker. So, yeah, it sucks, but I'm sure they'll find a pretty good kicker to come in. You know, it won't be as good at the field goals, but we shall see who they bring in and if it's, you know, up to par or close to par for Medlock.
Well, all that has to happen then is the team doesn't punt and only scores touchdowns and only goes for 2-point conversions, and then it doesn't matter who they have at kicker, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a possibility.
Like that's being reasonable. Like the fact that they will always go for it on third down, they will never not score a touchdown. Like that's what's going to happen this season, correct?
I always thought that. I didn't know you had the same idea, but yeah, I predicted that.
So, yeah, you're right. Balky's signing to Toronto sucks, mostly because of where he went. But when you look at all the guys, you know, Laurent came back, Atkinson, Gaydosh, Evan Gill, the Ticats are pretty set at defensive tackle, especially from a Canadian perspective. So losing Balky doesn't hurt so much. Grant's the one I think that most fans are ticked off about, and especially when Grant left and then Owens came in, there was this sense of, like, how the hell did we let this happen? But I think that's more because Grant is such a likable guy, was one of the guys, longest tenured guys in this team. Everyone had kind of hoped that he could break out, but it never truly happened. So I think a lot of people were more bummed by his move, maybe secondary to only Medlock.
Yeah, you could kind of see it coming, though, I guess, with last year, him not getting a contract right off the bat, and it took so long for him to sign. I'm just glad he didn't sign with the Argos. You know, he went to Calgary, and that's okay with me. I hope he does well. You know, he's been a great Ticat. He did a great job for the team. You know, like you said, he never really got to that top level of receivers, but I thought he did a really good job while he was here, and I thought that last year maybe he would have been his breakout year, but it just didn't really happen. I believe he got injured, and it kind of slowed him down because he had a really good start to the season. But, yeah, I wish him well in Calgary, and I hope he's a starter and does a great job there too.
Well, they lost Jeff Fuller to, I think, San Diego, I think is where he ended up signing. So
in the NFL, eh?
Yeah, he went to the NFL. So Fuller's out. Grant can slide right into Fuller's old spot, and I don't think the Stamps will miss a beat.
And we'll see if Fuller, you know, if he can make it down there, because he's had his injury troubles in the CFL. So let's see if he's ever back in the CFL or not.
So the rest of the signings, like losing Edom after they just traded for him last year, you know, he is a guy that has a lot of talent but hasn't really harnessed it very much. Brandon Stewart, I always liked. I thought he got a tough shake here. People seem to be all over him, especially after the poor performance against SJ Green in the East final in 2014, but I think when we talked about it, it's like, who doesn't look bad trying to cover SJ Green? Gascon Nadon, you know, Canadian guy, but again, not a huge loss. I don't think Ed Gainey, I think most people were kind of happy to see him leave. He's been a bit of a whipping boy here, and as most people probably remember, he was the one in coverage on Greg Ellingson when the Ticats season effectively ended last season on that Hail Mary pass by Burris. Taylor Reed, I think the writing was on the wall for him. When Hoffman Ellis was signed, I think that was sort of an indication that Reed wouldn't be back. And with King's recent signing in Edmonton, I've seen some people kind of complain that, oh, this is a terrible move and the Cats never should have let him go. But I don't really see this as a big loss. Special teams player, he was third at, like, he's a defensive back, mostly played safety. But he was behind both Craig Butler and Mike Daly. Daly can play special teams. Like, finding guys to play special teams isn't that difficult, honest. Like, you know, coverage team, stuff like that. I don't really think the other losses here are all that significant. What do you think?
Well, I think Neil King was a really good special teams player, but like you said, he's a second or third guy on the safety position. So, you know, I think he could contribute anywhere on special teams, but it's not a huge loss. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks, but I'm not going to, you know, cry over it. You know what I mean? So he could be a good addition for the Eskimos in the special teams unit.
Yeah, I'm sure all these players will be good additions to the teams they go to. I just don't think anyone should look at the losses the Ticats suffered in free agency. And with the exception of Medlock, they didn't really lose anyone you would consider an elite player at their position.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Ken Austin knows what he's doing. If he's going to lose a player, he can go out and find the talent to bring in and replace that player. So I have full confidence in Ken Austin and what he's doing. So I'm not going to complain too much when we lose players, because I just think that he has an eye for talent and he's going to bring in the guys that are going to do a great job to replace them.
One other loss the team suffered is that they traded Tim O'Neill to BC for a fifth round draft pick. O'Neill, I was a huge fan of simply because he was one of the few redheads who actually played for the Ticats. And as a fellow ginger, I have a symbiotic relationship with my fellow pale-skinned, freckled, red-headed folk. But he, you know, he wasn't going to start for the Cats. He is from BC. He's near the end of his career. I love what he did when he was with the team, and there's this picture floating around of him giving the middle finger after I don't remember who they were playing, but I think it was from his first year here in 2012. And like, to me, that's so Hamilton and so offensive lineman in Hamilton. So I respect what he did, but I don't think this is a move that really hurts the team, and for O'Neal it allows him to be closer to his family. So I think it's kind of a win-win, and they get a fifth round draft pick, which you never know, that could turn into, you know, another special teams player that they need, or just another Canadian player. You never know what could happen.
Yeah, he was he would have been a good depth guy on the offensive line, but, you know, like you said, he's getting up there in age, and he's going to be closer to home now, so that's a good thing for him. And, you know, Austin probably has, you know, an idea who he's going to draft in the fifth round. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think that he did a great job here, but it's not a huge loss for the Ticats.
And again, it frees up a little bit of cap space because O'Neal was a veteran making more than the minimum. And they do have some younger offensive linemen in the pipeline. A guy like Landon Rice maybe now sees a little bit more time. So it's just a move that I think benefited everyone in every way. So again, not much really to complain about there. But now, with all the moves the team has made, it begs the question for me, what's left for the Ticats to do? Now, I look at the roster and I don't see a ton of holes. Obviously, kicker punter is a hole because they don't have anybody. And I think the secondary is also an area where they still need to find some players, and most likely they will find those through those free agent camps that they like to run in the late winter, early spring, and finding a replacement for Eric Harris, like a player who can play in that position. Would you say that these are still the three areas? Would you agree with me that these are the three areas the team still needs to kind of focus on?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, they've done a pretty good job. You know, they lost some guys, but they brought some guys in. So, yeah, I'd have to agree that those are the positions that need a little help in free agency, or players we might know in the free agent market, or players that, like you said, will just be found that we have no clue who they are.
Well, that's just it. And this happens every year. We didn't know who Eric Harris was 3 years ago when he was plucked from obscurity and signed by the team. Delvin Bro, who's now a borderline Pro Bowl, All-Pro player in the NFL, was, again, someone no one knew about before he was brought in here. So there's always ways to find players. The one to me is there's really no veteran kickers / punters out there for the team to acquire. So this, to me, is going to be a little bit interesting to see where that goes in the offseason and into training camp and throughout the season.
Yeah, you got to wonder if they're going to bring in a Canadian to, you know, maybe they're going to draft a kicker from the CIS, or I don't know if they want to, you know, if it's hard to find a guy who can do all three, you know, kickoff, field goal, and punting. And it'd be great to get a Canadian in that position for the ratio, but, you know, it's hard to find that. So I'm interested to see exactly where they're going to find this new kicker. Like, maybe they'll find him in a free agent tryout, an American. There's tons of American kickers out there that are looking for jobs, I'm sure. So I'm sure there's a lot of talent out there. We just got to find the right guy to fill that position.
I've heard some names thrown out there, Paul McCallum as one, and maybe trying to pry one of those kickers from Edmonton. They have Sean White and Grant Shaw. I think McCallum, to me, is a no-go. He's 1,000 years old. I don't really think they gain much there. Again, and his leg's not that big, so it's not – he's, to me, is not a viable replacement. And I think White is but I think Shaw is, again, he's a little too iffy on field goals, but he does have a big leg. I don't know. I think we're going to see a relative unknown, be either through the draft or, like you said, there's a ton of American kickers out there. I think that's where we're probably going to see the next Ticats kicker come from. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's in the CFL right now.
Yeah, I have to agree there. I mean, there's tons of talent out there. So, yeah, it could be an unknown player that, you know, comes out of nowhere and, you know, makes a big splash in the CFL. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's what happens.
All right, so let's talk about what the rest of the league did in free agency. There was just a ton of moves. Just a couple guys off the top of my head. We saw Eric Harris go to Winnipeg. Josh Bourque land in Toronto. Nick Moore went back to BC. Saskatchewan signed pretty much everybody. Winnipeg, it's the same. They signed a ton of guys. Ottawa picked up Trevor Harris. Montreal added Kenny Stafford and Jovan Johnson, and just a ton of moves. They released Enoch Mwamba. So based on what you saw, is there one team or maybe a couple of teams that you really look at and go, I like what they've done during free agency?
Well, I like what, you know, Toronto didn't do a lot of signings, but I like what they did on the offensive line. They know that they have to give Ricky Ray a ton of time. You know, he's not a nimble guy. He's not going to be moving around a lot back there. So they made a couple signings with Josh Borg and another guy, the name escapes me, but.
Watman from Saskatchewan.
Yeah. So they made some additions on the offensive line that I really like. If they can give Ricky Ray time, they will be a good team. If they don't give him time, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble, because out of all the quarterbacks in the league, he's the guy that he needs to have a lot of time to set up, make his reads, and release the ball, because his release is kind of slow. And if he doesn't have a ton of time, he's not a good quarterback. That's the bottom line. He's like when Calvillo was in the league, when they won those back-to-back championships, they had an awesome offensive line. They gave him a ton of time, and they were basically unstoppable. So Jim Barker did a good thing for the Argos, bringing in some talent on the offensive line, and that really impressed me.
I actually also really liked what Toronto did. I'll run off the names of the guys that they signed. Josh Bork, Corey Watman, Liram Hirelahu, Brian Balky, Keon Raymond, and they brought back Brandon Whitaker and Corey Greenwood. Aside from Whitaker and Raymond, those are all Canadian players. Again, they went out and they got talented Canadians. Now, I think the drop-off from Waters to Hirelahu will be huge, but he'll be kicking most of his... Oh, no, they're not in the Dome anymore. Oh, my God. So, no, all his games are going to be kicking outdoors. I don't like that move specifically because he wasn't very good in Winnipeg last year, but he just seemed to have lost all his confidence. But the year before, his rookie season, he was fantastic. So maybe he has a bounce back year in Toronto. I do like a lot of what Toronto did. And if you look at the guys that they lost, yeah, they lost, you know, face the franchise Chad Owens. They lost, you know, up-and-coming quarterback Trevor Harris. Greg Jones went to Saskatchewan. Curtis Steele went to Saskatchewan. Euclid Cummings left to go to Winnipeg. Waters went to the NFL, obviously. So they did lose some players, but I don't think they lost anyone that was irreplaceable. Everyone's harping on him for letting Harris walk, but they developed both Trevor Harris and Zach Caleros, and I think if there's one coaching staff that I have the utmost confidence in that they can develop another quarterback at when Ray's ready to go, it's Milanovic and the Toronto staff. They've proven time and again that they can just develop quarterbacks. Jones, I love as a linebacker, but again, you can find an American linebacker to play there. Curtis Steele, I think, again, American running back. They've re-signed Brandon Whitaker. Maybe Steele's departure now paves the way for Chad Kackert to get more carries, unless he retired again, and I'm not aware of it. So the guys they lost, I don't think, are huge. And the guys that they brought in, especially like a guy like Josh Bork, who this now means that they will absolutely be playing at least four Canadians on the offensive line, which helps with the ratio. Yeah, I really liked what Toronto did as well.
Yeah, they really added to the Canadian talent and brought back, you know, Greenwood did a great job last year when he was healthy. So he could be a top end player for a couple of years to come. So yeah, I really like what they did, and Toronto could be a real threat next year in the East with all those players he brought in. And yeah, they lost Owens, but Barker has always been able to find receivers that you never heard of, like the ones last year, like Elliott and Gurley and Hazleton. So
Deontay Spencer,
he came on strong last year. Maybe he could be a guy that, you know, replaces Owens in the speed, you know, speed receiver. He could be a returner, you know. So they got a lot of talent there in the receiving corps for Ricky Ray to use. So if he gets some chemistry with those guys, they could put up some huge numbers. So, you know, watch out for Toronto next year. I think they'll be a contender next year in the East.
Is there any team other than Toronto that you kind of liked?
Well, I think that, you know, Winnipeg brought in a lot of talent. Some people say that it's not good to build the team that way, but sometimes you have to if your team's not that good last year. So I think they made a lot of good moves. You know, we'll see if it works out for them bringing in all those free agents. You know, they got Dressler, and I was surprised that they signed Ryan Smith because he's such a similar player to Dressler. I don't know why they, but they're both talented guys. They're both a little bit shorter, but I don't have a problem if the talent's there. You know, I don't think they have to be huge receivers, but they better find guys that are a little bit taller, you know, to add to the shorty, speedy guys like Ryan Smith and Dressler. So, yeah, I like what Winnipeg did. We shall see if it works out for them with all the free agents.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm a fan of what Winnipeg did as well, but we saw them spend a lot in free agency last year, and it didn't really do much. And I think, like, the two teams, Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, like, they just got into, like, an arms race when it came to signing players. Like, they both just went out there and signed everyone. I like what Saskatchewan did. They brought some guys in that I think fit the Chris Jones scheme. Obviously, they brought in a ton of guys from Edmonton. But outside of that, John Chiles returns and goes to Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Greg Jones, I think, you know, teaming up with Jeff Knox Jr. in that linebacking core, that could be really dangerous. And they signed probably the number two or number three defensive lineman, who's a defensive end, that's a Canadian, in Justin Capicotti. So, again, I think that they had a really, really good signing period. And I've said that I think that they're going to be the one team that rebounds. You know, they went 3-15 last year and they made a ton of changes. So, obviously, if it doesn't work, then how did they get worse? And it's hard to get worse than 3-15. But I can see that team, especially with a lot of kind of a lot of turmoil out west with coaching changes and player changes and all that sort of stuff. I could really see Saskatchewan making a big leap from a last place team to a team that may even host a playoff game this year.
That's bold. They have made a lot of changes, and yeah, you know, they can't be any worse, like you said. I'm kind of wondering what's going on here at Edmonton. I mean, they lost a ton of players and haven't really they signed J.C. Sherrod, which is a huge, huge signing. But, you know, not much going on in Edmonton, and they're losing a lot of players. So what's your opinion with them?
Edmonton, yeah, they're one of the teams that I wasn't too high on after the initial phase of free agency. They bring back John White. They bring back J.C. Sherrod, like you mentioned, but they lost Kenny Stafford. They lost Shamaud Chambers. They lost Kendall Lawrence. They lost Otha Foster. Those are some big-name guys. Like, they traded Fred Stamps to get Kenny Stafford, and sure, they got a year out of him, a really productive year. They get something like 8 or 9 touchdown catches for them last year, and they won the Grey Cup, so they kind of get the benefit of the doubt, but there's been a lot of changes in Edmonton, you know, coaching staff on down. That makes them a bit of a question mark.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and then, you know, Grimes is still out there. He's looking at his NFL opportunities. So, yeah, they've lost a lot of talent. And, the coaching staff is all gone. So it's brand new coaching staff and a lot of new talent that's going to be coming in. So it's going to be a big question mark next year for the Eskimos. See if they can, you know, they can rebound from losing all these players. You know, it always happens. When a team wins a championship, everyone's going to cherry pick from them. But you just got to see how they rebound after they lose all that talent and all that coaching. So it should be very interesting to see what kind of team they have next year.
Well, and it doesn't help that the coach that won the championship there goes to another team and then, you know, as you said, takes the entire coaching staff with him and then goes after the players that he used to coach. Like, this is a unique situation. This doesn't happen. So that added to kind of the woes, if you will, in Edmonton. But another team that I am kind of questioning is Ottawa. The big move they made was to bring in Trevor Harris. And yeah, that kind of secures their quarterbacking position for the post-Henry Burris era. But as everyone should be well aware, Henry Burris does not really play nice with others. And when he is not sort of coddled and babied, he can get rather temperamental. And his numbers could dip. And like, he put up a monster season last year. And I think expecting a similar result this year would be foolish on the part of Red Black supporters. But you add Harris in the mix. You know, the first time Burris throws two interceptions in the first half, are those fans going to turn and start calling for Harris's name? And then that's going to get into Burris. Burris is very fragile from what we've seen. And any sort of slight gets him. Well, we saw it all last year at the end of the season with the whole Hamilton thing, with they let me go and all this other sort of nonsense. Now he's got competition in the quarterbacking hierarchy there, and is it a guarantee that he even starts with, like, you don't bring in Trevor Harris and say you're just going to sit here and learn. He doesn't need to sit and learn. He proved last year that he could be a starting quarterback. So as good as that move is for the future of the club, I think the short term could lead to some turmoil in Ottawa.
Yeah, it could lead to quarterback controversy. If Burris faults or fails early on, then yeah, you're right. They have the backup there that could be a starting quarterback. He's a younger guy. He's proven himself. So, you know, the fans will probably get on Burris at some point. And he doesn't handle that well. We saw that in Calgary. We saw it in Hamilton. So he doesn't take criticism very well. And, yeah, he's going to have a lot of pressure on him to perform because there's that guy behind him that can take his spot just like that.
And I think what we also saw in Ottawa is how one year's spending spree leads to issues the following year. They went out and spent a ton of money in free agency last year and, to their credit, upgraded their talent level immensely and made a run to the Grey Cup. But now this year, you see that they lose some key veteran players. Keith Shulgin gone to Winnipeg. Jeremiah Johnson, who is a good running back, though running backs are a dime a dozen. So this isn't a huge loss because that Will Powell guy that they found at the end of last season, I think really has the ability to be a star in the CFL. But still, Johnson was a touchdown machine. They lose him to BC. They lose the other Johnson, Javon Johnson, to Montreal. Again, a calming veteran presence in that secondary that is full of young players. He's out of there now, so now you're relying on those young guys. And they lost who is probably the best Canadian pass rusher in the CFL, and Justin Capicotti. He's off to Saskatchewan. So they made all these moves last year and brought in all this talent, but then this year they lost a ton of talent. And losing Shulgin and Capicotti hurt, especially because they're Canadian. So now that messes with their ratio a bit. I have gone on record saying I think Ottawa last year was a bit of a fluke. And I think now with these losses, and again, not really adding much in free agency because they can't, because they spent all that money last year. As much as I see Saskatchewan rising, I can see Ottawa falling.
Yeah, it might be another case of Desjardins shooting himself in the foot, spending all that money last year, and then this year it could be a big downward spiral. You know, maybe they go to the, you know, to the bottom of the East standings and don't even make the playoffs. So, you know, we're going to see what those moves do to this team next season. All those moves they made last year, let's see if they can continue success this season with losing a bunch of those guys.
Well, I question just a bit of their long-term planning with how they've sort of managed things the last two off seasons. Because if these receivers, say Burris goes out there and does throw another 5,000 yards and has another great season, and all those receivers, again, catch for 1,000 yards. Well, now you're going to see guys that now they're going to, you're not going to be able to pay all four of those receivers. At some point, those guys' contracts are going to come up and they're going to be, man, I was a 1,000-yard, 9-touchdown guy. I want to be paid like a 1,000-yard, 9-touchdown guy. I just, again, I'm not a big fan of Marcel Desjardins. So this could be, you know, short-term gain for some long-term pain. I don't know if they're set up in the same way that, say, I think Toronto is set up and Hamilton is set up. And even Calgary, who didn't do a whole ton of things this offseason, but they're all set up, I think, to build from within and to find pieces to plug holes and stuff like that and to be successful over the long term. I'm not sure we can say the same thing about Ottawa.
No, definitely not. It was a definite short-term plan for them. They wanted instant success early on. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they bounce back next year after losing these guys.
We have one question this week. Also related to free agency. This is the free agency show after all, so I figured this would be a great way to sort of end things off by getting a question that we didn't really cover throughout our talk about what happened during the last week and a bit. So this comes from one of our regular contributors, Adam, and he asks, which CFL players are you surprised are still unsigned?
Okay, well, there's a lot of good names still out there. I'm looking at the list right now, and Brian Hall, he's a great guy in the middle. You know, Aaron Grimes, it's not a huge surprise because I think he's looking down south, but he's a huge name, a great defensive back. Okapalugo, he could be a great rush guy. You know, he didn't have a great season last year, but the year before that, he had huge numbers. Cord Parks, you know, is a really good defensive back. So there's a lot of guys out there that could be great additions to any team, I think. Those are just some of the guys that I see. Cleon Lang, a good defensive tackle in the middle, also a Canadian. So there's still a lot of names out there that can be grabbed. You know, a big name that, you know, might not, I don't know if he's ever going to get signed by anyone or not, but Chris Getzlaf, you know, he's had a good career. You know, I'm not a huge fan. I think that he drops the ball too much, but he's had his good years in Saskatchewan, and maybe because of his injuries, he's on the decline, and people are just shying away from him. But yeah, there's a ton of names out there. Who do you got?
Well, I wrote down 10 names. Cleon Lang, Aaron Grimes, and Brian Hall were three of them, and Emmanuel Davis. I think the reason we haven't seen those four guys sign is they might be looking for NFL opportunities. So that's – I think those guys, if they were strictly just going to play in the CFL, I think we would have seen them already inked somewhere. Especially a guy like Lang, like you said, Canadian guy, probably the number two defensive tackle, Canadian defensive tackle after Ted Laurent, disruptive force, maybe a little bit dirty, especially if you ask people out where you are right now, not huge fans of him. Could you imagine if he like ended up in Edmonton? That would be that. I wonder if that would be like Owens-esque, if that would be because they spent all of last year just killing this guy for the hit on Mike Riley, and I think there was like a hit previous on Mike Riley that they didn't like in a previous season. So could you just imagine if that guy puts on the green and gold? I think there might be more than their fair share of angry Edmontonians if Lang ends up in Eskimo.
Absolutely.
But Okapalugo is another guy. Alex Hall, kind of surprising that he hasn't signed. Getzlaff, yeah, I agree with you on that one. And I'm thinking maybe Saskatchewan added a ton of receivers, and they have two Canadians now in Rob Begg and Shamad Chambers. Maybe Getzlaff is done in Saskatchewan, and I don't know where else he would fit, because like you said, getting old, he does tend to drop the ball a lot. He has had some good seasons, but he's not, to me, he's not that kind of guy that you have to bring in. And then there's three veteran players who I'm a little surprised, and we really haven't heard anything about them if I think about it. Justin Hickman, Tyron Brackenridge, and Juwan Simpson. Yeah. Kind of silent on all three fronts, no?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about those guys. Keeping a close eye on Hickman because he's a former Ticat now, I guess. So, and Juwan Simpson, you know, a leader in Calgary, great linebacker for years and years. You know, I guess they're not going to bring him back in Calgary. They got the new defensive coordinator. He doesn't seem to want to retain some of the older players. So, yeah, maybe teams are shying away from him just because of his age. Maybe he wants a big salary and the teams don't want to pay it. So I am surprised about Hickman too, because you think someone would want to bring him in. You know, he hasn't had the greatest seasons the last couple of years, but he can still contribute. So yeah, big question mark with those three, and Brackenridge as well. So yeah, you got to think that they'd be brought in somewhere, you know, just to get a look at camp, if nothing else.
Do you think maybe Simpson ends up in like Toronto? That's where Stubler went. Keon Raymond signed there.
That's what we're talking about because, you know, Stubler being the former defensive coordinator in Calgary, he was thought of, you know, he's loyal to the veteran guys. So maybe Simpson finds a place in Toronto just like Keon Raymond did.
And the Argos are now looking for a middle linebacker with Greg Jones going to Saskatchewan. So it kind of makes sense from a fit. So, yeah, there's still – I know we've had this wave and all these players have signed, but even though we're now over a week into free agency, there's still a lot of talented players out there that could find new homes or could be heading back to where they're from. It's definitely still some interest out there in free agency. It's not all just the first couple of days, although holy crap, was there a lot of moves the first couple of days.
Yeah, like nothing I've ever seen before. It was very interesting couple of first days. And like you said, there's still a ton of like pretty big names out there. So there's still going to be some exciting days ahead for free agency-wise.
The next time we get together, hopefully we're talking about some of these players signing somewhere, so we'll have something to talk about. Hopefully a few of them, Brian Hall, Emmanuel Davis, end up back in Hamilton. I would hate to see those guys go elsewhere. But that is all for this week. So as always, don't forget that you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you want to have your questions answered, you can hit Mike and myself up on Twitter. Mike, your Twitter handle is...
Mike_Ticats.
And I am Josh_Smith_82. You can also post questions in the comments section of 3Down Nation. If you posted questions on there and I didn't get to them this week, that's my fault because I didn't really check the comments section this week. If there are questions there, then maybe we'll get them on the next episode. So that is Podski Wee Wee for this week. I am Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.